Maya Burry joins us now from Ōtautahi for ngā kōrero e pā ana ki te tai whenua, our rural news. And Maya, wine exports are continuing their growth trajectory.
Kia ora, te aniwa. Yes, demand for New Zealand wine is continuing to rise, bucking the global trend, according to a new Rabobank report. A senior wine analyst for the bank, Hayden Higgins, says in the 8 months to August, exports have increased by about 10%, both in volume and value, and that's compared with the same period last year. He says producers here have benefited from more people consuming wine at home, and that's driving strong retail demand in key markets.
Disruption to food service has been a big issue for many exporting countries, but New Zealand seems to have been able to continue to grow its exports even in the adversity we face, particularly into key markets like the US, where we've seen New Zealand and Portugal are the only two major countries that have actually achieved growth, particularly in the bottled or packaged export categories in the last sort of 6 to 8 months in 2020.
And Mr. Higgins says New Zealand is one of the only few major wine exporting nations that has managed to increase sales overall this year. But he says there are challenges looming, including labour shortages and the economic impact of COVID-19.
If you look globally, we're still expecting to see, recessionary impact come into certain markets, particularly the UK as you head towards a Brexit at the end of the year, and it's still a bit unclear what is happening there. And so you still may see consumers perhaps trade down. We are expecting, some growth to occur in 2021, economic growth, but, largely most major economies in the world we expect will be smaller in 2021 than they were in 2019.
That's Rabobank senior wine analyst Hayden Higgins. Meanwhile, a study is being planned for the major wine-growing region of Marlborough to see if spray drift from farm chemicals impacts air quality. The Marlborough District Council plans to trial a new air monitoring program within a year. Eric Frickberg reports.
Marlborough District Council told the Local Democracy Reporting Service the research would help fill in the blanks around farming and air pollution. It wasn't focused on tracking individual cases of spray drift, but rather whether rural activities like spraying chemicals to combat fungal infections, insects and weeds are having a negative impact. The council says people frequently make submissions alleging the cancer-causing impacts of agricultural spray during the setting of the council's district plans. In fact, data from the Ministry of Health shows between 2014 and 2016, Nelson and Marlborough had slightly lower rates of cancer than the national average. Local wine growers add they don't spray in windy conditions anyway. That's because of the public impact and because spray is blown away from infected plants and is therefore ineffective. They think the council research will prove that growers are doing the right thing already. This is Eric Frickbert.
A $2.5 million program aimed at helping arable farmers become more sustainable and profitable has been announced today. The three-year project is being jointly funded by the Ministry for Primary Industries and the Levy Group, the Foundation for Arable Research, or FAR. FAR project manager Anna Heslop says arable growers are facing increasing market, consumer and regulatory demands. She says the project will involve discussion groups, trial and demonstration farms and a mobile centre to help growers learn from each other.
With all these changes coming at growers, some are fine. Some have got their head around it and they're like, cool, we can do that. Others are just absolutely confused. They're stalled. They don't know what to do or where to go for help. And it's not that the information isn't there. It's just that there's so much of it and they just don't have the confidence always to make that step. So by setting them up in groups with other growers that they can talk to each other and share information as well as having expertise brought in as and when required on their own terms, we're really hoping that will help them just incrementally improve their knowledge and their confidence and the way they feel about their businesses.
That's Anna Heslop from the Foundation for Arable Research, and the Ministry for Primary Industries is funding just over $1.1 million of the project. A challenging export season for chilled venison is wrapping up, and over the next few months, farmgate prices are expected to keep tracking well down on last year. This comes as COVID continues to hit the food service industry, which is a big buyer of venison. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says in November and December, the schedule looks set to drop to about $5.50 to $6 a kilogram. She says this is well below the $9.70 paid in 2019.
The drop in schedule prices is driven by the uncertainty in key markets such as Europe and North America. Both these countries are now experiencing COVID-19 case number spikes for the second and third time respectively. And pet food market and prices is also bottomed out. Now that ultimately removes an alternative market for venison. On a positive note, however, the velvet market has held fairly stable this year.
That's AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode. New Zealand and American scientists have found a way to do important research for the kiwi fruit industry entirely in isolation from an actual orchard. It'll enable them to find ways to improve the crop, which would be far too cumbersome if done on a real kiwi fruit orchard. David Pattermore of Plant and Food Research says the theoretical analysis will lead to focused projects that can then be trialled in the field.
What we've done is build a mathematical model that replicates what happens in kiwi fruit orchards during pollination in a digital form. And it's what we call a digital twin. And what this enables us to do is ask questions that are simply not feasible to ask in real-world trials. And if we tried to replicate that same study in the real world, it would take more kiwi fruit orchards than exist in the whole of New Zealand. So it really gives us the ability to look at interacting factors and make predictions about what are the most important things that we can do to improve pollination.
Dr. Patty Moore says one focus is to determine whether the condition of a plant is more or less important than the efficiency of the pollination process.
The plant factors would include, for example, when the flowers open in the season and what difference there might be between male and female flowers, the number of male flowers versus female flowers in the orchard. So those are plant factors. The pollinator factors, you know, the key one is how many bees you have per flower in the orchard. And we wanted to vary all of those things at once and see which of the factors were more important than others.
That's David Pattymore of Plant and Food Research. And that wraps up the Rural News for today. Back to you, Tianiwa.